Blog Talk Radio.
Sí, lo. Ahora nadie es una sangre que la nan que es nido leis. We are live right now from the Politics on the Navajo Nation radio studio. Please give us a call at area code 801. Or actually, that's my number. The telephone number here is 347-989-0048. So, there's a lot going on this week, and tomorrow some things are going to be taking place. So, while I'm trying to do this internet stuff here, I am looking for you guys to call in. Give us a call again at 347-989-0048. So tonight is, it looks like it's going to be a full moon. So I don't know what that means for all the rest of us. So, ladies and gentlemen, I have just put it on Facebook. Please give us a call. I think there's some very, very important issues that we need to talk about. And while I'm trying to get all of my audios and get this place set up again, I am looking at things, so that's why I'm a little bit distracted and sending things to the website. So please call in, and I just shared it, but I don't see it here on Facebook. I don't get it. So, let me get geared here, and I will be right with you. Here, hold on 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. Bear with me. I am trying to get everything all organized here. Okay. So if you guys, any of you are listening right now, give me a call and we will talk ASAP. Well, I saved some things here on the website, and I cannot seem to find that. I am not sure, so I guess I'm just going to go with the raw edits. So please hang in there with me. I'm trying to get this thing organized here. The show came on right while I was still trying to set up. So, I'm not sure what happened to that one. It's very crazy to me. Okay. Here we go. Okay, so you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. This evening is Wednesday night, and or actually this night is Wednesday, and my name is Cal Nez. I am the host of this original radio show, and we're going back, and we're going to be talking about the politics on the Navajo Nation, and there's a lot going on. And I think that all of you out there, I'm sure, have an opinion. There's several things that are on. Well, there's lots of things going on. And I'm sure we all have our various different issues that we can address. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge each and every one of you to call in so that we can talk about this thing. Tonight's show is called Chris Deschini, Fluent or Not. And there's a lot of varying different concepts or interpretation about what exactly that means and how important is it. Is it about the lie? Is it about the filing of the application? Is the Navajo Nation election office at fault? These are a lot of the issues that we need to be discussing. And for tomorrow, for those that are not exactly certain what's going to happen, well, I don't think any of us know what's going to happen. I did have a radio interview with Mr. Richie Nez here about 3 weeks ago, and we did talk about the hearing as well as the appeals and the process and what might happen in the Navajo Nation Supreme Court. So I brought Richie Nez on, and we had a long conversation. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of varying different opinions. And I noticed that on Facebook, there's a lots and lots of things happening. So you people, the Navajo Nation, who are sharing your opinions on Facebook, I would highly encourage you to call in. Right now, the telephone number is 94, well, actually, that's not the number. is 347-989-0048. Again, 347-989-0048. Must, shall, could have, would have. All of these issues are something that we are looking at. And I know that this is something that we're going to continue to look at. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you listeners out there, the time has come when you need to be talking about this thing. So, here is an interview that I did, and have you listen in.
That is Bahas and Caleb. You are listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez. And I appreciate Honorable Council Delegate Elmer Begay joining us this afternoon. One of the things that I wanted to talk about on the radio, Navajo Nation, our presidential election and council delegates, we are in the political season, and that's something that we're all quite aware of. And a lot of the things that are happening behind the scenes, as you well know, is that there is a question about the Navajo Nation presidential qualification, and specifically about one of the candidates' fluency. So there are some issues and some certain legislations or even a proposed comment period, and all of these things that are now around the political discussion, even in the council delegates and elsewhere. And of course, tomorrow, the Navajo Nation Office of Hearing and Appeals is going to be addressing that. And I understand also that today Mr. Chris Tischini was supposed to be taking some sort of a fluency. I don't know if that's just rumors or maybe that is part of the hearing prerequisite for tomorrow's hearing. So I'm not sure about that. But back to the issue, I understand the Navajo Nation Council, I'm not sure if it was the council, the entire body, or the Nabakayati. So for giving us this few minutes to talk with us, can you kind of give us an update about what exactly is going on in terms of this Navajo Nation presidential qualification and the procedures and the steps in order for this to move forward, or is it not going to move forward? So you're on air now. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, Mr. Kelmes, Jado Elmer PVG, this is I don't understand it last as a couple hundred. Tori Jean versus T oh to imagine this chase this nothing other day is not trying a card open a still kid. Mr. Nez, today on the agenda, before that, prior to that, you know, there was a circulation for petition to have a special meeting, special session. During that time, we signed it, our name, according to this, there will be a report on presidential qualification, and then also the election, general election that's coming up. Then also for the selection of the speaker, there's three items. We're going to be talking about it, making a report. So we signed it, that petition. So today, when we came in, we knew that there's going to be a legislation added to it, because this is an emergency meeting call for a special session. But as a report, it is not considered to be emergency. But we know that there was going to be at least two items that we can add on to the agenda for as a legislation. So but we don't know that what item from that presidential qualification was going to be moved to a new business, and then we're going to act on it as a legislation, which is a going to be a legislation reporting to remove the Navajo fluency. It would already be that the Taniyeho. Jenga emergency. Though it's still going through its course of legislative process. Once a legislation is being drafted and then it goes through its process, it creates a number. Then also, then they're posted on to the Navajo Nation Council internet. So people can start making their comment. It goes through the 5-day comment period. So this is a law that was made. It has to go through that for the public input. So we knew that it's very a sensitive issue for today's how the election was going to go. So even as myself, I consider that as a very sensitive. And we want public input on it. So we consider that. So what the few delegates that wanted to do was to move that legislation, post the legislation, to be an action item, to make the decision on which I think that there was an emergency. Only on emergency, if the legislation is written or drafted, like an emergency, this is an emergency item that we have to consider as soon as possible. It wasn't drafted like that. So the legislative council, we all know that they have their own standards. The level of their legislation, they have their own criteria where it has to meet it to consider to be an emergency. So it didn't meet that, to my knowledge.
So this is one of the
have my own truth about it. I'm not against anybody else. I'm just trying to be from aspect of Pastuidosan, Dishik. There's very few, Atibiliti, very few that were taught like that, that were taught to where sitting on the ground inside the whole gang, I call it the because it's feet in the ashes, because it's a young bond that is a quiet.
Right there, and that was about what his opinion is and what is going on with the legislative process of our current situation. Tonight's topic, you are listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, and I am Cal Nez. I'm your host, and we're going to continue to talk about the Navajo politics. So if you have an opinion, please give us a call. We are live on air right now, and see what your thoughts are. That was a council delegate who gave his opinion about what he considers to be the value of our Navajo language. Ako nihishe are the nenosini, the nebizada zube yastke, ero dagoda zube saganik eshda zube yastke, a janhut enda zube nebizado tsa, korobi hito zihigi so, dazu nihishan tla. Ero dawat aradze alcheje dadze yastie. Ako dide ba neit on. Kuro alche ye alche hilta huil neo. Adle ba neit on. A ako English igi bililtra nan tako. A hot ori kad hot ori ni hilketa. Arat aaj gudat nihil khote shish ako dide do e do eight o at eda to il khar shi nat khote shish de di kad ata e nis 2014 ye khagi joy bi yo ne joy kare kuch has khet kadit ado ut zago shi to le nas de so Now de shijo, asto ado honado nil. Ast se da yen da adai nesan kudo e joy hinanta ben shelly do Linda Love Joy, joy echin de. Ata e di de Navajo culture. Nihi, nihi na salagi, nihi na hat a salagi. Do de nihi o tla salagi. Joit at abiditi sli ako e ta e asandat natanin lido le tat hat no e bande tin de chukade dide atai ni aj na ho ji ju e kade ni hizat tot an he one of our own Krista Sheeny will yo e bada honosen jo ede lanne kode kade huto sikho a akon hi e khait oban sokke ko hasin so ako aden hizad do ban sokke si shi holo bikejda tsa so a dagora tsa khait o iban sokke ako e aren huto e Aden hiche da hosne kat. Ako, so I got my first caller. Ako, caller, you are on air. Your last four digit is 8898. And you can probably hear me, and you are live on air. Aden hiche da honlzi to khade e hosne. Yate?
Oh, yate. My name's Michael. Come from a place called Bird Springs, and calling here from Oklahoma, where I attend school as far as welding class. I got hooked on your show a couple of months ago as far as what has been going on back home. This issue as far as my absentee voting. It seems to me that a lot of what I hear on Facebook or what I hear in the newspaper as far as the opposition of Mr. Chris Deschutney, from my view, I feel that it's really not the matter of our language. I know that part is important. It's our identity, and our language is medicine in a way, to where our Hatafis use it to fix ourselves. I understand that. But Aya Dinek Eje versus Bilikana Eje, it's really hard for young individuals like myself, growing up, born in the late 70s, some of my friends born in the early 80s, their parents talk fluent Navajo, but my friends and myself, which are in the 32-34 range, don't. what happened there, I don't know. A very, very few of my friends speak fluent Navajo, mainly because they were raised by their grandparents. But putting fault on us, as far as a new young generation of leadership, and as far as people wanting to go to school and better themselves, well, we're only doing what the Navajo people was to do, as far as our grandparents and parents and relatives, is to go out and seek an education, come back and help. I see that this man who obviously showed himself as being a respectable person, having a good family, educated. He's a Marine veteran and was a state representative. Those are qualities that we need here today. I do understand that language and communicating with the elderly in our communities is very important and vital, but technology will allow us, and other people that are beside us will allow us to do that. A lot of other tribes out here in the United States, especially here in Oklahoma, from where I see, you know, some of these tribes, the government doesn't run solely on their language, but how to preserve their tribe, how to preserve their people out of poverty. At the same time, in lines to where having classes such as ours, having language classes in public schools or private schools or wherever schools they may have, so those kids that come from that tribe have an opportunity to learn their language. Now, it seems like a lot of hate and fallback is coming back upon us youth that don't speak that. And it's coming discriminatory and it's dividing our people. And it's really a lot of pointing and waving fingers from where I'm standing, from where I see, you know. So it's kind of like I go back home, there's no job. I go back home to help my people, and then they don't want my help because I don't speak Navajo. Is it become to where I'm going to have to apply for a job? On the Navajo Nation and on the job application, it's going to ask if I speak fluent Navajo or not. Is it going to come to that? We have two people on the Navajo Nation Council that I know of, or for what I've read, saying that they don't speak Navajo. Now, where's the issue on that? So I'm coming into where fluency, how can you measure fluency? It's kind of like you're taking a driver's test, but you've never driven a car before. Or you're taking some test that has never been proven and you're the guinea pig. So it's really coming down to where does that place us young youth, us young men and women, as far as a generational gap, to where does that put us? Where are you labeling us? Where are you putting us? Mr. Dwight Weatherspoon, council delegate, is highly educated, you know. And he has done his fair share of what he needs to do for his communities, and he has expressed that. He has showed that he has done a lot. Maybe Lorenzo Bates, too, having faith in him as a pro temp speaker, even though he doesn't speak Navajo, but his rest of his constituents thinks that, you know, he's shown leadership. He has shown a lot of other things to put him in that position. So where does that leave us? So if something were to happen to our president and vice president, logically the speaker would be our next president. So what happens if our speaker that just so happens to be Mr. Bates were to automatically to become president of the Navajo Nation? Where would that put us? So really what I'm saying right now, on the phone, language is important. There's no substitute or excuse for us not to learn. All I'm saying is that don't exemplify us. Don't push us away to where when we come back, we don't want to help or we don't want to come home. We want to come home, help our people, but there's no jobs. There's a lot greater other things out there that our people do need to get out of poverty. It's third world conditions on every reservation here in the United States that I've seen, especially here in Oklahoma. So I think there's a lot more other problems that we have to worry about, like our healthcare, epidemic and diseases, STDs and AIDS on the reservation, or cancer-like symptoms that people have to deal with because of uranium and coal and so forth. in there's an education, there's no the language retention. If we were so gung-ho on learning our language, why is it that our old Navajo Nation government won't push public schools for us to learn? A good example would be the Maori of New Zealand, to where they exemplified and implemented their language in everything that they do. Why can't we do here on the reservation, but we get bullied around by the public school system? You see, what's
yeah.
our tribe doing to teach us young people or teach language retention? What's our tribe doing? Nothing.
Yeah.
So it's
kind
of like a two-way street.
Yeah, and I get exactly what you're saying, and I think that that's one of the questions that a lot of the callers and a lot of the general public, and that's what's been discussed on Facebook. And I do appreciate your honesty in reference to your feelings. But I think the question that really is looming here is that, do you really think that the conversation that we're having on the Navajo Nation about Christus Chitney really has anything to do with, is it about somebody's inability to talk Navajo, or is it about the fact that it doesn't matter whether he talks Navajo or not, but it's being truthful on filing filling out an application and knowingly that you don't speak Navajo? Is that the issue? Which one do you think is the real issue here?
I think the real issue is that as long as he understands is what where people are coming from as far as their concerns and issues of the Navajo people, I think he has a clear mind of what needs to happen. As far as a plan, I haven't heard that part yet. But as for him and as for myself, I see it as him, as long as he understands where the people are coming from, as long as he understands the people's problems and issues is what's important. Whether or not he speaks Navajo or not, there are translators, there's technology, there's radio announcements, and so forth. That there's tons of things that he can do to communicate with his people. He did say that he was going to learn in... Due to some videos on YouTube, it seems like the way he speaks Navajo, it's coming along. So you just have to give the young individual a chance to show that he can do it. The same thing came along with Linda Lovejoy. A lot of the taboos out there and so forth that a woman should not be Navajo. Now we're saying that. A young individual that can't speak Navajo can't be president. So we have to overcome a lot of boundaries and jump over a lot of hoops to say, okay, it's time for a change. I think a lot of people on the Navajo reservation don't want to change, but we have to move along with the world. The world's moving so fast. I hear it from elders. I hear it from my own grandparents. It's saying the world's moving too fast. But we'll have to catch up. We have to keep pace. If we don't, we're going to fall behind. We're already behind. And as far as the application's concerned with Chris Deschitney, that application, I think the language in there is very vague. I think that what he saw as far as him applying for the presidency, like all others, to councilmen, it's the same questionnaire on the election form. I seen it. So when an individual, and I know some other young individuals out there on the reservation that are at the chapter level, don't speak Navajo, but they sit in those positions. So why aren't they being questioned down at the lower levels, like grazing, farm board, school board, or chapter positions in council? Why aren't they being questioned too also? Why is it solely on just this one individual? So the question there is really vague, and it really falls upon the Navajo Supreme Court to do the ruling. It should have ended in Tuba City. The Supreme Court obviously didn't want to take responsibility we look at our Supreme Court as a final order or final judgment. That didn't happen. And then as far as the election supervisors, or even our own legislators, should have known and should have took care of this issue. This is nothing new. It's just something that reoccurred again. This time, somebody actually did file against Mr. Deshchitny and made it into something really of what should have been like 10 years ago or 15 years ago problem. So it's just somebody that made that statement now. So it's our laws that are outdated. The Supreme Court just passed the buck. And the election supervisor should have done something, maybe something in there that should have enforced or a policy saying that if you don't speak Navajo, this is the consequences. But nothing in the law says that. So the three entities there that dropped the ball, and it's nobody's fault except our own Navajo Nation government. It's the legislative, it's the election supervisors, and the Navajo Supreme Court. That's how I feel about it.
So, in closing, do you think that we should give Mr. Deshchitny a pass this go-round?
Well, I think right now, in my final remark, I think that our own government, our own elected officials that are elected into those positions or appointed to those positions, really have to look at laws that are in detail in reform policy and reform law. I think this will be a great example to where we can learn and amend laws or introduce law that will make it more proficient. I think Mr. Deshchitny should run. I think the Navajo people have spoken. He was only behind 1,000 votes. So you're going to tell me that the law does state the overall above law, even Navajo fundamental law, is that the Navajo people are the final say-so, have the final voice of who they want to pick as their Nat'ani. Now, if this, the elections or Office of the Hearing and appeals it, it's saying that the 9,000 or so voters that voted for Mr. Deshchitny, which is 49% of the whole Navajo Nation, is that your voice isn't heard. Your voice will not be heard, and we're sorry. So I think of it as the Navajo people's choice. It's the Navajo people's government. And right now, it doesn't look that way, and that's wrong. I think they should just hash it out and let the Navajo people decide, finally, who should be their next Nat'ani, whether it be Mr. Kresh Deshchitny or whether it be Mr. Joe Shirley. I think that's fair, and I think that's reasonable. And then after this election, I think the new council delegates that are going to be elected, or the current ones that are going to be reelected, have to really take a good look about the laws that we have to change or amend or fix these policies and procedures. This is just a learning experience, I would think. And I think that whoever's listening out there, I think the Navajo Nation people are the ones that govern their government and their nation. It's like that with the United States. It's like that with Canada, Australia. It's like that with any free sovereign country. And that is the people that decide how the government should be run.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good. And can you introduce yourself again and where you're calling from?
My name is Michael, calling from Oklahoma City here. I go to college. I'm from Bird Springs, New Mexico.
Okay, thank you very much. And continue to call in. And I appreciate your opinions, and away we go for tomorrow. So we'll go to the next caller now. So I appreciate it. And that was a very nice call. I appreciate it. And so we're going to bring on our next caller. And caller, I know this caller, and she will introduce herself. And what's your... And where are you calling from? And give us your thoughts or opinion or question.
Are you referring to me?
Yes, I'm referring to you. Yes, Sylvia.
I wasn't sure whether you had somebody else before me. Yes, my name is Sylvia Lafter, former Arizona State Representative. and I served 3 terms. And I think I do respect people's opinion. I think it's great that there is political discourse among those that are not politically involved. As a former candidate or a present candidate, I think it's good for this discussion to occur because I believe it's obvious that we need to address this legislatively. I think the problem we're having right now is that we do have laws that we have to follow, and we're forgetting that the present law is vague, and that is what's causing so much confusion. And until the law is clarified, I think we're going to continue to have this kind of confusion among the electorate regarding this particular issue. And we have to remind ourselves that without laws, there is chaos. And we do have some form of a law. There, it may be vague or not. It does indicate that fluency is part of the requirement to run for president. I personally contemplated running many years ago when I was in the political arena. And one of the things that I didn't run for this position is because I knew that I was not fluent. In my own, with my own experience with my sisters and my family and relatives who all converse with one another on a daily basis, when I'm not able to understand them fully, and if they are not able to understand my Navajo fluently or fully, clearly, then that tells me that I'm not fluent. And so I made a decision for myself not to run. And regarding the position with the council delegate, it does not state in that qualification requirement that you have to be fluent in Navajo. I think that is what we need to remind ourselves, is that whether or not we disagree or agree with the present law, we do have to honor what was written, in spite of the fact that we may disagree with what the current law is. I think we need to honor that particular law. And it's kind of hard to go back and say, let's ignore the law because we have a candidate that we would prefer over the other candidate, and we're getting everything confused because we're thinking not so much about the existing law as much as we're thinking about the candidate. If we like a candidate, then we want to ignore the law. If we didn't like the candidate, we would all be hopping on board and saying, yeah, fluency is an issue. In this case, you know, there are at least 9,000 people out of the 300,000 Navajos that like this particular candidate, and so therefore, you know, everybody wants to ignore the law. Now, let's say that the issue was turned around and it was a candidate that 9,000 people didn't like. They would be hopping on board and saying, disqualify him. So to me, it's only fair that we use the law to deal fairly with the two candidates, whether we like that individual or not. I think the issues should not be about whether we like a certain candidate. It should be about the letter of the law. And the letter of the law, whether vague or not, indicates that we need to be fluent in order for us to run for that position. And
So having said that, so what are you saying? That we should disqualify Christus Cheatney?
Well, I personally decided that the Navajo Nation appointed judges, people in the Office of Hearing and Appeals, and if they themselves make a determination as to whether he should run or not, then I'm fine with that because I respect their decision because they were appointed. Obviously, enough people supported their appointment that is why they are in those positions to make a decision. And so I think we need to honor that decision, whether we like the individual or not, we should honor the position that they hold as a the person in charge of making a decision as a hearing officer as to whether that individual qualifies or disqualifies. So for
the problem is that because he dismissed it and it went and it was appealed, it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court turned around and said, no, we're going to send it back there because that we disagree with that dismissal. So it's back to where it was in the first place.
Well, the dismissal had nothing to do with what the Supreme Court sent it back for. The dismissal, the first initial dismissal by the Office of Hearing was on a technicality, and it was because he believed that the two individuals that filed grievances did not do it in a timely fashion. And that in itself should have been an argument as to when the 10-day begins to start. But then, of course, that was sent over to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said we should never mind the time frame. The bigger issue is a language issue. And so they sent it back to the Office of Hearing Appeals and admonished them to focus on the language issue. My issue is more about honesty and representation. I think the bigger issue for me also is the fact that we have the candidate is highly intelligent. He has a law degree. So having a law degree indicates that he understands law. He understands legalese. He understands interpretations of law because that's what he does in his capacity on a regular basis. So it's really hard for me to dismiss an individual who has a law degree. And because then you could have said, well, he's ignorant, he doesn't understand, but we can't say that about this individual. He's a lawyer. He understands law. He interprets law. He, all those kinds of things. And so, therefore, it's almost unjustifiable for him to come back and say, well, the law is, he's qualified. So, for me, it's hard for me to dismiss that. That's one issue. The other issue is the honesty issue. I think the honesty issue is a bigger issue. The language issue needs to be addressed by the council, and you can't really do it after the fact, and you can't do changes in laws retroactively. At the state level and in the federal level, you don't do that. So that would be basically dismissing an existing law. You can't really go back and retroactively change a law. I guess you could. I know at the state level, a two-thirds vote requires any changes, but I can't think of any law historically that has ever done something like that on something that is pending. Presently pending. So that would be a historic precedence for the Navajo Nation to go back and for the council to go and say, okay, let's address this right now and let's make a decision that we're going to totally disregard the fluency issue. That brings to the forefront the issue about language. And I've heard a lot of people talking about the Navajo Code Talkers, and I have a great deal of respect for them. I addressed them when I was in the legislature, and even after that, I honor them and all the hard work that they've done and the representation that they made in the world as Navajo Code Talkers. To me, the language in itself is a very sacred language, and it is part of our culture, and to totally disregard that and say that fluency, Navajo fluency, the language issue, is irrelevant. I wonder, does that send a message out to the world that language is, among our Navajo people, is now irrelevant? I think of all the tribes in the United States, the Navajo language, the Navajo people probably speak more fluent than all the other tribes. And our language is something that we are known by. And setting a precedence when we say that fluency is not an issue. I think we're sending different messages, and that's what concerns me. So for me, I'm just making, that's my own perspective. I'm not making a judgment, and I like Chris. I like his experience. I like the person that he is. So my decision and my perspective has nothing to do with my personal opinion of him as an individual. I think we need to set that aside and think about the legal precedent that we're setting if we decide to ignore the fluency issue.
So if you were Richie Nez, what is your decision tomorrow?
Pardon me? If I was Richie? Well, he would have to honor what the Supreme Court indicated to him, and that was for him to focus on the language. And I think, I would say, it's usually the silent majority that feels strongly about the language issue, and they're not on Facebook. The people that are the loudest and the people that speak out on a regular basis on Facebook are really actually in the minority. And I think they need to understand that we still have a large majority of Navajo speakers on the Navajo Nation, and they're not on Facebook. And they feel strongly about the language, which is why this is such a big issue. And I think we need to, I personally honor that. I respect it. I don't speak fluently, and I wish I did. It does not, it doesn't mean that I, just because I don't speak the language, it does not mean I don't honor it. And I have a great deal of respect for the code talkers and the language and the people who did their best to preserve our language. And I think we need to honor that. So I don't know, whatever Richie Nez decides tomorrow, I'm going to go ahead and accept it. I'll place my vote accordingly, but I'm not going to be one of those individuals that if he gets disqualified, I'm not going to be out there with protesting it. I think we need to accept it because we need to move forward. We need to, maybe Chris can run again. He's young enough that he can run again in 4 years, but let's do it legally. And it doesn't mean that he can't ever run again. I think this has been really good. It's been a good experience for our people to have a discussion on this matter because it is an important matter. But I think we ought to honor whatever decision is made and move on and place our vote accordingly and not cause any more problems like what happened so many decades ago among our people.
Yeah.
It's important for us to unify our decision, honor the courts and the Office of Hearing and Appeals.
Sounds good. There you go. That was Sylvia Lasher. I appreciate your opinion, and we're going to go on to the next caller. So, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number here is 347-989-0048. The lines are absolutely full. And so continue to please be patient and continue to call in if you have an opinion. I'll try to make this as quickly as possible to go through as many callers as I possibly can. I've got the next caller on, and your telephone number, your last three digits is 3071. 3071. State your name and where you're calling from.
Nate, and I'm calling from Sherbrooke. Yate Kel.
Oh, Yate. Hey, Lahadne.
Nate. Sherbrooke.
Okay. Oh, Yate, Nate. What's your thoughts on all of this? We're talking about this evening, we're talking about the Christish Chini. Is he fluent or not? Or where are we going to go? And what are we going to do? And what do you think is going to happen tomorrow? And what's your opinion? Do we move forward and give him a pass and we go, or do we disqualify him and follow the law as it should go? It's Oban, sin case.
Oban, this case, so a Chris, so the Nick, actually, just in the call, Elder Ninny's obligation as well. On that subject, I think that Chris, they didn't really need to look at his fluency. It's not about writing or and reading. Communicating with the elders, that's what people are looking at. And if he gets disqualified, he can always run next 4 years, like the young lady said earlier.
Yeah. So, in your opinion, this is really about somebody's fluency, and it's not about his falsification of that he's not fluent.
The whole issue is about fluent. Talking Navajo, the Nepizan, Ajiyatigi.
Of course,
talking fluent to elders, then Lenigi. Since you in the Kage, we can talk both ways. We can talk English and we can talk Navajo. You had any time. So, Chris, the English, he grew up in LA and he was born there and he came back to over here on the reservation and he went to school in Page. He could have learned all the Navajo language out in Page, Arizona while he's attending school there. But more or less he hung around with the Anglos. I know behind that. So the issue is his language. It's not there. And he needs to honor that.
So what you're saying is that when it comes to fluency, your definition of fluency, fluency.
That they're going to make tomorrow, I think he should get disqualified. If not, drop it and move on and see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. Thank you for calling in. And you heard another opinion there. So I'm going to bring the next caller on. And that one, I know who this is. This is Dr. Patricia Nez Henderson calling all the way up near Canada. Hey, sister.
Patricia Henderson. Well, the way I think about it.
I had neck at you.
half of our population, like half of our population is under the age, whether they say age 18. We are a very, very young population. I'm not sure what the stats are, but, that under 18, it's very high. And I think that we certainly need a leader that can really speak to those young people. And for me, anyway, I grew up on the Navajo Nation and was schooled there. And then, of course, I was sent off to college and then on to medical school. And I think during that transition, after I left the reservation, my fluency in Navajo actually kind of waned off to some degree because I was exposed to the Western world. And my mind thinks Navajo, but when I speak, I feel like that it's a little bit easier for me to speak English. And I think Chris is the same way to some degree. And he's very well-schooled, which is what we need. He's an attorney, which is what we need. And it's just not about communicating with the elders. We're talking about the world here. We're talking about the federal government. We're talking about making businesses with companies throughout the world. And if we want to move to this next level of development, we just can't be isolating ourselves to the Navajo Nation. And I think Chris has that ability to make things move in that direction. Yeah, he's not fluent. You know, I'm not fluent. You know, who is to say who is fluent? And I think that's where we're kind of stuck at, is we're kind of stuck on this terminology of who gives the grade on who is fluent. Like I said, I wish I could speak more fluently to you in Navajo. But the key thing is that it's the relationship that we're going to be building as we move forward as a Navajo Nation. There's just so much work that needs to be done. And Joe Shirley was given 8 years to do that. Prior to that, he was, a council delegate. He's been within the Navajo Nation for many years, and I know that his supporters really want him to do another 8 years. You know, that's what they're saying. But, when it comes to Joe Shirley, there is one thing I have to say, that in my opinion, he has done very little for health, unfortunately. I'm a doctor, and when it comes to health, he has really put stumbling blocks in front of us as physicians, as professional people that are doing work in public health. And that makes it very challenging for me to support him. And that's why I'm supporting Chris Deschene, even though his name is not on the ballot yet. But I think he's a great leader. He has the skills that are there. And I said in my post this evening, it's like, if we don't have our health, how can we preserve our culture? How can we preserve our language? How can we preserve our tradition? If we're fighting diabetes, if we're fighting alcoholism, suicide, everything that is rampant on Navajo Nation, we can't do it. And if we're not healthy, I just want to speak my mind this evening about that.
Okay, well, so let me ask you some questions. So what you're saying is that the Navajo language is important, but yet at the same time, our culture has evolved far enough that we need to give some leeway to the generation that really doesn't have the full Navajo language skills. And because of that, we need to give Chris a pass, and we need to move forward. So tomorrow, Richie Nez should dismiss the grievance again.
it's not giving him a pass. It's not like a grading system, you know. And I think that's where we're kind of butting heads with terminology, you know. And he understands the language. Just like me, he's kind of struggling with, you know, maybe going before the Navajo elders and having this conversation. And I think, for me anyway, when I get back to Navajo Nation, it just takes a little bit of time for me to get back into it. And after probably a couple of days, I'm able to pick it back up again. But because I'm exposed to this outside world on a daily basis, you know, it's just a lot more easier for me to speak the language. And I think it's true for Chris in that sense. We're talking about, like I said, we're talking about a very young Navajo Nation population. I think he has the skill set that he's been trained with, whether he's been a Marine or whether he, you know, as an attorney, the education skill sets are there to really put in place on the Navajo Nation and off the reservation, to really help those young people to learn the culture, to preserve the language. There's already so many things that are out there right now through software, through apps, but nothing can take the place of that, of your family speaking to you on a daily basis. I think that's something that we're going to have to address as family members, is like, how do we really encourage our youth to learn the language? And, you know, I'm married to a Lakota husband. You know, my husband's Lakota. Their language, the rates of fluency in that culture is like 13% of the population speak Lakota fluently. And linguists, you know, say that in decades from now, that language is going to be gone. So they're doing everything they can to preserve it. So this is a four-year term. In 4 years, so much can happen. Whether, you know, the language is not going to die in 4 years. But I believe in 4 years, he has the capability to really make stride in our reservation, off the reservation. For me, I live in South Dakota, so I support him. You know, I think, I really do. I think he's the right candidate to lead the country or to lead the nation in a really positive way. And I know that with at least with health, I haven't talked to him about the health, his health issues, but I'm sure he's pretty open to that.
So you're saying just drop this whole thing that he didn't fill out the application truthfully, and let's just move forward.
Well, if I, you know me, Kel, if I filled out the application, you know, I'm saying on the air now, I don't speak Navajo fluently, but when I get back on the road, give me a couple months, I can pick it back up. Are you going to challenge me to tell me that I don't speak Navajo fluently?
At the time that you fill out... whether it's now or 2 months away or 2 years away, at that moment you fill out an application.
Well, in my
would
mind,
you,
I think,
would you,
in my mind, it, in my mind, I would think that I, in, I guess in my mind, I think I would speak it fluently, but I just have challenges with it. There's just certain words. Like, for example, I'll just use myself as an example. When I go to certain meetings, there are words that I don't understand. It's just sitting down, I think, and really being immersed in that environment that you'll be able to pick it back up again. I think he, whatever decision is, you know, I really hope they bring somebody on board as the next president that will really make health a priority. That's my passion. You've heard me on the show talking about that.
So tomorrow, what do you, if you were to give Richie Nez a recommendation, what would you tell him right now?
I would tell him that Christus Cheatney is an educated Navajo man who has the heart and soul of a Navajo man. His soul is there. He wouldn't be doing this if he didn't love the people. I think that's the most important thing, is the love for the people and wanting to really do some amazing, amazing work for the Navajo people and taking us to this next level. When you go off the reservation, people just, and when you get into other settings, particularly among other tribes, they just think we're the most awesome tribe, because we've had leaders like that along the way. And I think Chris just has this thing about him. And, you know, I'll pray that he, you know, that this whole case is dismissed and that we give him a chance. And I think he really has potential to lead us in the right direction. And, you know, and in the primary, I didn't vote for him, but, you know, if his name is on the ballot, I certainly will.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listeners, I appreciate it. And that was Shetajin Lenaho Kwasangahadne. I had Lana, Dr. Patricia Nez Henderson. So we're going to go on to our next line. Thank you, and keep calling in. We're going to continue to talk about this. I'm thinking about maybe having another show tomorrow, see what the opinions are. So I'll bring the next caller on, and that one is, it looks to me like the telephone number on that. We have about 12 minutes left, so we're going to have to kind of quicken this a little bit. Your last four digit is 2807. Caller, can you identify yourself and where you're calling from, and give us your comment or thoughts?
Yes, my name is Jenny Howard, and I'm calling from Utah, a place called Spring City, a small town. And my thoughts are here. My grandfather, he was born in 1894. My grandmother was born in 1913. Both of them spoke English, and they both spoke Navajo. All my aunts and uncles back in the 30s and the 40s, they were born, and they speak English. They understand Navajo and English. And when they're saying there's an English or a Navajo English barrier there with Chris Deschini, it doesn't matter, like, say, I'm from the Western Agency. If I say a word, like, for instance, the color white, I say shage. Well, many times I've been told that that's not how you say it. It's shagai. So, you know, different areas, we speak different types of dialect of Navajo. So, really, who is it to say that we really have... Who speaks the true Navajo on the reservation, on the Navajo reservation? And I also, I grew up on the Indian Placement Program, and I'm so grateful that I went away to receive an education. And I think that's the cry of the Navajo Nation, is receive an education. Go beyond what, you know, our ancestors did, so that we can lead a nation up higher, so that this man, Chris Deschini, can lead the Navajo Nation and rise above poverty. I think that that's what he wants. We are the poor of the poor, the poorest nation, and we just need a leader who can lead us out of that. I know that he can. And in the ballot, he, as you were saying, that he what did he do? He wrote his, that he spoke Navajo. Is that what he did?
Yes. He signed an oath.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And, okay, so I think the issue there is he may know a word or two, because my children know some words and they think they speak Navajo. So, but they're so prideful of who they are. So in his mind, he probably thinks he knows Navajo. He is Navajo. You can't rip that away from him.
That's an interesting way to look at it, too. Yeah. Never thought of that.
Yeah, You know, the guy is Navajo. You can't rip it. It doesn't matter whether he speaks Spanish or whatever language he is, he's still Navajo. And like the doctor was saying, the majority of the Navajo reservation speaks English. And we need to address that. That is the truth. That's reality. A lot of my nephews and nieces, I speak to them in Navajo. They're staring at me like, huh? And they grew up on the reservation. They were born and raised there. And they don't know what I'm saying. And I'm like, do you not speak Navajo? And they're just staring. They understand, but they can't. I guess they understand and they can't talk back to me. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, we have 8 minutes left to go in the show, ladies and gentlemen, and so we're going to have to make this quick. We have a caller, and I appreciate you. So your closing comment, do we allow Christus Cheney to move forward, or do we disqualify and ask him to run again in 4 years?
I think we need to move forward and vote for him and let him be on the ballot and let us, you know, we will be a nation of pride. We need that. We need it so much. And we need it. We need businesses. We need education down there. We need the drugs off. We need everything to clear up down there, and crimes and alcoholism and so forth. He will address those to us. So that's why I think let him be on the ballot.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that call. That was very, very incredible, because we got a lot of different varying opinions. Okay, the next caller, Iggy, ancient art at Nick Etchigo, Petishni. Okay, the Nick Etchigo, George Naudilne. Dida, it's all, yeah, fluency. Okay, the next caller, A. Shorty, A. Last, D. Dingo. Telephone number G A so Sidos Tano Dasanaki Kade Ara Nijeta Hunzi Hindliro Hara Hunna.
My name is Austin Mix from Tuba City.
Oh, Nick Etchiko de Schne, Austin.
Hakushi. Ask David. Corporations, Dalia, from the mine companies, coal companies, power plants, uranium companies. The Kokodo, Ninat Anis, the old Kitnaz, Obi has Anishashine, La Bahulo, On his street, he called Waljish. For Kunzah, Waljish, who at the hour with the left, the Naisia, Yego, Itato, Zido, Nichana, Hato, Lizzie, at the hour then. Oko AD bin Nasha, Abonet, Sanson, Yego. Hashine lat nature now at the old it's bahia social ills economy that Hashine la the has an bispikita this disoko. Don't hill out ego don't hill the ika. A quiz car Richie Nez. I die bisbehorzen. Statue of limitation or litain deja. I thought the law yishka. Those that say that the law, stick with the law, Daninigi, well, that's the law. The law says 10 days, and there's nice carpet, eh? grieve his father, so listen, allow the Yishta accord. So that's the law too, so we should need to stand behind that law. The statute of limitation has expired. Our young generation, and that man is Christ's cheating.
You're listening to Navajo Politics with Cal Nez.